Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. From the Wiseman Institute of Science, the natural food supplement that can relieve anxiety. That's good news. That, especially for those of you who are using antidepressants such as Prozac, Effexor, Zoloft, Paxil, that's really good news. And I'll give you all the information on that in this article published in Cell Reports Medicines in just a few moments, along with a lot more. But most of today's show will be devoted to reading verbatim an article. And the article is from Paul Thatcher. That's interesting because Paul Thatcher is a very orthodox investigative journalist with over 15 years uncovering campaigns to distort science. He's written on scientific ethics for outlets like the New York Times, the Journal of the American Medical Association, the Washington Post, New England Journal of Medicine, Los Angeles Times, New Republic, British Medical Journal, Mother Jones. He's been quoted in the Wall Street Journal, the Associated Press, Rolling Stone, etc. And he served as an investigator in the U.S. Senate. He helped to produce stories that ran in dozens of outlets, including the New York Times, CBS News, Reuters, ABC News, etc. And he has put together what is arguably one of the finest pieces of journalism ever done concerning the history of Bill Gates. And therefore, we're going to give you his version of the story and the documentation and an article entitled, "I Never Trusted Bill Gates, Nor Should You." But then I have my own independent research on Bill Gates that we have done, and also some studies that were done concerning China. Now, why is this important to you? It's relatively simple. Occam's razor. Cut through the nonsense. Get to the truth. And the truth is almost always simpler than what the complexity of the problem perceives. Example. Wouldn't you want to know whether or not you could trust the integrity of a company that's making you a vaccine that may or may not save your life? A drug that may or may not be the answer to your heart problems, your pain problems, your cancer problems? Any reasonable person would say yes. And that's why we took the time to do in-depth scholarly research and present a series of 8 articles, the most of any media independent journalist in the United States over the last 8 weeks on Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, Merck, also on the World Health Organization, the CDC, and the FDA, and also on Pfizer. Now, when you read these articles, fully footnoted, all the documentation present, you'll think, my goodness, why would anyone trust any of these organizations or anyone affiliated with them at the management or policymaking level? They lie. They cheat. They engage in illegal and immoral activities constantly, all the time. And yet you would never know that reading the New York Times, the Washington Post, New England Journal of Medicine, the Journal of the American Medical Association, the very organizations that Paul Thatcher publishes in. Why not? They have outstanding journalists, high levels of academic background. They have all the resources imaginable. Everything that we presented, they could have if they chose to. Therefore, I'm left with the idea that they chose not to reveal the truth on any of these organizations, lest we lose some trust. Because what is it that determines who we give our attention, time, energy, and choices to? Those that we trust. So we've been betrayed. We've been lied to in every aspect, everywhere you turn. And I've said this repeatedly. But I've also written over 800 articles, produced over 100 award-winning documentaries, over 50 award-winning documentaries of the 100, and many, many broadcasts. I've now just passed a milestone, 45,000 hours of broadcasting. It's because not everyone gets it. Not everyone will ever get it. It depends upon the strength of your belief system and how open you are to accepting something other than what you've been propagandized to believe. That's why we're doing this. That's why I'm going to tell you why you should trust nothing from China. And mine is not a political issue. It's not about them being communist or anything, anything they talk about, whether they do it or not. I don't care about capitalism, communism, socialism. Those are irrelevant to me. I simply look at what is the human condition and what can we do to improve it and what has been responsible for denaturing it. That's what we're going to talk about today. And I'll be giving you some additional clips because the house of Fauci is on fire. The entire edifice of the COVID pandemic is collapsing, as you will see. And now it's picked up momentum. It cannot be stopped. It will not be stopped. The lawsuits are prolific. They're everywhere. And I'll even show you how citizen activists are going about making their contributions to all this. So in-depth understanding of China. Now, you can continue to say, I don't really care. I don't care if China killed all of the children in one community in 1 year. I'm still going to buy my stuff from them. I have no ethics. I have no concern about where stuff comes from. Isn't that what George Soros said about his wealth? So, okay, that's your choice. But at least you'll know at some karmic level that when you choose not to change by knowing the truth or fear of that truth, challenging your preconceived notions, that doesn't make you any less culpable. So we begin. And we begin on health. A natural food supplement reduces anxiety in this particular laboratory experiment in mice, and that's done at the Weizmann Institute of Science. It's a plant-derived substance. By the way, you could find it in avocados, but not in enough. You see, there's a difference saying you can get your vitamin C from an orange. You could, but not enough to help you in any measurable way except for preventing the classic scurvy, but not enough to help you. So we are a nation that walks around with subclinical deficiencies, not enough to manifest a acute clinical symptom. Like, you wouldn't know that someone has osteoporosis unless you did bone scans and did tests. You wouldn't know how much of a virus load people have in them. In fact, I remember this because it was the first time in my career it happened. In a period of 2 days, I was counseling separately, none knew each other, five women, all were in their 50s, and they all had different symptoms. And I said, have you been tested? Well, get your blood test. And I gave specific blood markers, and they all came back positive for hepatitis C. And they were absolutely perplexed. So I don't know how I got this. Then when I went through the different ways, well, yeah, maybe about 30 years ago, well, why didn't I manifest symptoms for 30 years? Because you were 20 and your immune system was strong. The older you get, the weaker your immune system, and therefore one day it collapses, and then you manifest some acute symptoms or subclinical symptoms that begin to manifest. By the time you are told you have a cancer, you've been 30 years processing that cancer. By the time you're told you have clogged arteries, it's 40 years of clogging your arteries. But we have no system currently in place that starts at the very beginning of a patient-physician relationship, determining how healthy are you. And we always assume that health is measured based upon the state of a person's pathology. Hence, almost all medicine is diagnosing with the latest technologies, and some are really miraculous and great and accurate, and some are just very expensive and unnecessary. And then from there, the diagnosis goes to the treatment, and almost always that is something either mechanistic or something biochemical, and biochemical drugs, or in this case, vaccines. But nowhere is there this idea, what is the likelihood that this person is not really sick because of disease, but they're sick because of not aging properly. And so that's what I look at. So therefore, you could eat an orange and get some vitamin C, but it's not going to do any good for any disease at all, except scurvy. If you want to get the amount of vitamin C you need from natural sources, which is what the quackbusters, those absolute idiots who say that they know anything and everything about health, because that's what they focus upon, what you shouldn't do, don't take vitamins, organic doesn't matter, you know, eat all things in moderation. Yeah, and do you have any background in it? Have you ever gotten anyone who's sick healthy? The answer is no, they haven't. For those of us who have, we know that there's a time to supplement and a time not to. So if you want to get your chlorophyll from your diet, you can do that, yes. Minerals, frequently, yes. Vitamins, no, you're not going to. Why? Well, let's just say that there is 30 milligrams in an average orange of vitamin C, and you are a person that's outside a lot, you're getting oxidative stress, you're getting ultraviolet rays, that is challenging your immune system. So let's just say, for argument's sake, that you need 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day, spread throughout the day. Let's say you take it 500 in the morning when you wake up before you go exercise. That's good. It reduces oxidative stress. And then let's just say you take 500 or 1,000 milligrams when you come back to trap all those free radicals that you've created when you exercise. As you exercise, you're doing a lot of good. You're helping your lungs, your muscle strength, your endurance, your stamina, your flexibility, burning fat, creating endorphins, the feel-good hormones, that runner's high. So all that is good. Now let's just say that what's the downside? The downside is that you've also created a lot of free radicals, and those will damage your cells. And you've depleted your vitamin levels, vitamin C in particular, because while you're doing that exercise, the body is creating free radicals through oxidative stress. And that's even without considering whether or not it's pollution in the air that you're running through, where you're in a car driving or a truck or cab, and you're breathing in carbon dioxide all day long from fumes and other particulate matter. Your body has to trap those, or it creates inflammation. So you could eat 100 oranges, 100 oranges to get your vitamin C, or you could take supplements 3 or 4 times a day and get the same thing and actually get it in a higher amount and better amount. So you see, that's what I'm saying. So when we're told that there's a supplement you could, it's important, it's natural, and you can find it in avocados, you would have to eat avocados for about 8 hours before you would get enough of it. Now, this particular plant-derived substance is called beta, B-E-T-A, sitosterol. S-I-T-O-S-T-E-R-O-L. And what it does, it's found to produce this effect both on its own and in synergistic combination with other substances. For example, I would recommend it with, for example, the B-complex. And so it's really good for helping relieve anxiety in people. So it's just one nutrient. And I would not try to eat yourself into getting it. I would simply supplement. Now, also, because I'm not a person who believes in taking the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors for the SSRIs, because they're extremely dangerous. Fluoxetine reduced the anxiety in mice at a lower dose, but when it was administered with this particular nutrient, but I've seen so many people helped. In fact, I did the classical study, 500 people, for 3 months, meeting every week with no medications. They were all on medication to get into the study. You had to be depressed, clinically depressed, diagnosis clinically depressed, or you couldn't get in the study. And after 3 months of behavior modification and lifestyle changes, 93% of the people no longer reported any depression or anxiety at all. And we followed them for a year after that, and it sustained. But no one's going to be interested in that, unfortunately, because there's nothing to patent. Now, at the Weill, W-E-I-L, Cornell Medicine Center, an article published in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease shows that benphenamine, which is a B vitamin derivative, can reduce the progression of cognitive decline. Let me spell it for you. B as in boy, E-N-F-O-T-I-M-I-N-E. And this was where they had a trial of 70 cognitively impaired men and women who were completing this mini mental status exam. And what they found after having the received what is called the positron emission tomography, or PET scans of the brain, confirmed the presence of amyloid plaques that are characteristic of Alzheimer's disease, and other general blood test, electrocardiogram, and neurological exam prior to enrollment afterwards, there was a statistically significant improvement when they had this nutrient, a simple nutrient, you can buy in any health food store, inexpensive, in their diet. So one more piece of the puzzle that we're adding. Also from the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute up in Boston, an article published in the current issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association shows that, wow, young people under 50 are now having an alarming rise in the case of colorectal cancer. So now they want people who are 45 and younger to get their colorectal exam. Now, considering that colorectal cancer is one of the most preventable malignancies, owing to its long natural history of progression and the availability of screen testing that can intercept and detect the disease early, and diet plays a big role. When you have high-quality fiber plant-based diets and you're taking your anti-inflammatories like vitamin C, for example, and quercetin, and your black cumin seed oil, you have very little chance of colorectal cancer. But the American diet is deficient in quality fiber, very high in meat, and especially processed meats, and that increases the time that food stays in your intestine. The longer food stays in the intestine, the worse it is for you. So just another way of saying, wow, shouldn't we stop and take an honest look at our lifestyle and diet and sugar and all this that feeds inflammation? And yeah, we should. Will we? Absolutely not. You're not going to have any changes anywhere in life at any time under any circumstance unless a cis society or part of that society completely collapses. Then first everyone blames everyone. Then someone decides maybe we should be honest. And someone says, well, why in the hell should we be honest? We're never honest about anything. So we're not going to be honest about this. So I'm just saying, forget everything that we learned when we were growing up when it comes to government, corporations, and integrity of people. People lie, people cheat, people steal, people betray all the time. Not everyone, absolutely not, but corporations most do. And unfortunately, those are the people and places that we get a lot of our information. So I'm just saying, find better sources that have higher quality to begin with. That's why I said at the beginning of the program, we did these 8 articles to show you that none of these major corporations that are providing these medications to people or vaccines, and none of these government agencies are honest about anything ever. They're pathological. Now, you don't have to believe that, but hey, all you have to do is pay attention, and we pay attention. For example, what do you think of this? Let me give you some quotes about what was really true. This is the truth. Who says? Well, of course, NPR says, quote, scientists debunk lab accident theory of pandemic emergency. Okay, that means anyone who suggested that there was a lab accident was a nut job quack from hell because NPR says so. First, when it comes to China, some of our research, and this is concerning under the present Xi Jinping, China has been the most pervasive and brutal oppression of any country in the world in decades. The most powerful leader of China since Mao Zedong has built a shameless cult of personality, removed presidential term limits, promoted his thought. It's actually called Xi Jinping Thought. It's a whole app and advanced a grandiose vision of a powerful an autocratic nation that he leads, of course. Independent journalism is non-existent in China. Chinese government media has official policy to boost the party's image by labeling free speech and pro-democracy sentiments as dangerous and leading to chaos. The government uses 3 systems of detention to keep dissidents under control. The first is administrative detention. The second is residential surveillance and designated locations, what is called RSDL, and the third is re-education, where you're literally brainwashed into believing everything of what they want you to believe, or you don't get out. The entire education system, all of it, 100% under the control of the Communist Party, is to brainwash students into conforming to the communist ideology. Silenced numerous whistleblowers who attempted to reveal the truth about the viral pandemic in the world. This includes doctors who gave early warnings and journalists who covered the issue at the initial stages of the outbreak. They were all excuse me, disappeared or shut up, and some died. About 500,000 individuals are currently detained without trial. They have no habeas corpus. They are charged with crimes, and they have no legal aid at all. The government uses re-education through labor to arrest individuals without trial. Usual targets include petitioners, protesters, and those practicing an unorganized religion or unrecognized religion. What are called black jails in mental health institutions are types of illegal detention that are utilized by authorities. The detentions have created countless orphans, children whose parents are in custody, who are now held in schools and state-run orphanages where they are subjected to daily indoctrination. China is currently the leading executioner in the world. For decades, China imposed the death penalty for nonviolent crimes and unfair trials. In 2017, the president of the Supreme People's Court said that capital punishment was only applied, quote, to extremely small number of criminals for extremely severe offenses. He lied. China's statistics on death penalties remains classified, and authorities fail to release numerical data, but human rights people have said that it is common. The Uyghur genocide, a Turkic-speaking Muslim minority in one province, Xinjiang province in northwest China, estimated that over 1 million Uyghurs are now in concentration and re-education camps, about 10% of their entire population of this one group. They're forced into sterilization campaigns to reduce their population. China's actions against the Uyghurs have been classified as genocide by the Canadian Parliament. In recent years in Tibet, the policy of repression has intensified. Authorities have demanded locals to burn Tibetan flags and images of the Dalai Lama. The Tibetan language is being eliminated in its entirety in an effort to completely destroy the entire Tibetan ethnic culture. To date, 1.2 million Tibetans have been executed. I repeat, 1,200,000 Tibetans were executed, were murdered, or died in prison. Thousands of Tibetans still linger in prisons and concentration camps. Tibet is home to several Chinese black sites. That's where they take people, make sure that they're never seen again. But when was the last time you heard anyone in our government, our State Department, of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Business Roundtable, Hollywood studios, Hollywood actors, standing up and saying, I will not produce any film, I will not be in any film, and boycott films and entertainment in China until just this 1.2 million, that's genocide by any measure, is acknowledged. But of course, then we see the kind of gutless, coward, narcissistic people who are in the entertainment world, with some exceptions, and they would sell their soul as long as they had another photo op. Look at Hong Kong. The imposition of the national security law is a violation of the Sino-British Joint Declaration, which guarantees Hong Kong's autonomy and freedom of expression. Pro-democracy activists and human rights monitors, humanitarian aid workers, and journalists have faced violent attacks from Hong Kong authorities. More than 10,000 protesters have been arrested and are missing. You don't see them. Taken away. Forced organ harvesting, extracting organs from prisoners without their consent. 90,000 operations were conducted every year for 14 years, 2000 to 2014. Yeah. In 2017, the number of eligible registered donors was just 5,146. That means that the majority of the organ transplants done in communist China likely comes from foreign organ harvesting, especially targeting Falun Gong practitioners. These are peaceful meditators. Modern slavery is rampant. Slave labor is part of the supply chain of 83 international brands. The Communist Chinese Party sends officials to such factories to record the thoughts of eager forced laborers. Communist Party has built massive tech-based monitoring systems composed of internet censorship, artificial intelligence cameras, satellites, and drones. China's companies, like, well, all their major companies, some of which have been banned in the United States, are part of the surveillance effort. The party sells its surveillance systems to other dictatorships around the world. Beijing built a great firewall to prevent the people of China from being exposed to any criticism of the government from abroad. The government adopted Blue Shield filtering software to document websites visited by users. The country's cybersecurity law, implemented in June 2017, requires all internet companies working in China to regulate content for Chinese citizens. But then you have the big problem, cyber attacks and hacking activities. Examples only, I'm only using the last 12 months, the last year. These originated from either Chinese intelligence, artificial intelligence centers, or the Chinese military. Did you know, for example, that Chinese military conducted espionage campaigns targeting military and government organizations in Southeast Asia? The Chinese government exploited the VPN vulnerabilities to target organizations across the U.S. and Europe, with a particular focus on U.S. defense contractors. The Chinese hackers launched a cyber espionage campaign targeting government agencies in Vietnam with the intent of gathering political intelligence. The Chinese hackers used Facebook to send malicious links to Uyghur activists, journalists, and dissidents located abroad. The Chinese intelligence services target the European Medicines Agency to steal documents related to COVID vaccines and medicines. The Chinese government hackers target Microsoft Enterprise email software to steal data from over 30,000 organizations around the world, including government agencies, legislative bodies, law firms, defense contractors, infectious disease researchers, and policy think tanks. The Chinese hackers target electricity grid operators in India in an apparent attempt to lay the groundwork for possible future attacks. The Chinese military conducted a surveillance campaign against Tibetans, both in China and abroad. The Chinese government is responsible for ransomware attacks against five major gaming and gambling countries, demanding over $100 million in ransom. African Union staff discovered Chinese hackers had been siphoning off security footage from cameras installed in the African Union headquarters. Hackers accessed data related to the COVID-19 vaccine being developed by Pfizer during an attack on the European Medicines Agency. Chinese state-sponsored hackers broke into the networks of the Vatican to conduct espionage in the lead-up to negotiations about control over the appointment of bishops and the status of churches in China. The National Security Agency warns that Chinese government hackers are targeting the U.S. defense industrial base as part of a wide-ranging espionage campaign. Chinese hackers stole information related to COVID-19 vaccine development from Spanish research centers. The U.S. Department of Justice indicted five Chinese intelligence hackers for attacks on more than 100 organizations across the government, IT, and social media and academia. The Chinese Ministry of State Security have been scanning U.S. government and private networks for over a year in search of networking devices that could be compromised using exploits from recently discovered vulnerabilities. Taiwan accuses Chinese hackers of infiltrating the information systems of at least 10 governmental agencies to gain access to citizens' personal data and government information. And the Chinese cyber espionage group targets military and financial organizations across Eastern Europe. Chinese hackers access the travel records of 9 million customers of United Kingdom Airline Group's EasyJet. U.S. officials report a surge of attacks by Chinese hackers against healthcare providers, pharmaceutical manufacturers, and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services amidst the COVID pandemic. Look at their environmental record. The world's largest polluter, China. They emit one-third of the world's greenhouse gases. That's twice as much as the United States. Carbon emissions tripled between 2000 and 2018, yet they're supposed to be leading the way to a greener world. No, they're polluting, increasing their carbon output every year. 66% of energy derives from coal, and coal consumption quadrupled up through 2015. Government-owned firms have invested billions in coal power abroad to add to the global emission contributing by other countries. China's overseas investments contribute 314 million tons of CO2 annually. The world's largest producer of hydroelectricity accounted for over half of the worldwide. Also, the world's largest consumer of solar power. After India, the highest rate of pollution-related deaths in the world. 4.2 million of its own citizens die from air pollution every year. Soil pollution from chemicals is now one of China's biggest environmental threats, which has destroyed millions of acres of farmland in China. It also affected over 300 million of its farmers. It contributes 200 million metric meters or cubic meters of ocean trash every year, or 24 kilograms of trash per 1,000 square meters of surface water. Its lakes and rivers are all polluted. You would never take any water out of China anywhere because everything is polluted. 70% of its waterways are completely, totally polluted, giving rise to what they call cancer villages along those waterways. But let's not talk about any of that at all. Why talk about that? Since no one in the United States wants to do anything about it, no one in the government, no one in media, no one's exposing it, no one's stopping business, no one's blaming them. And now you want to believe what they say when they say we have no connection between the bad coronavirus and our Wuhan lab. Yeah. Well, just remember who you're dealing with, because if you choose to believe anything the Chinese government or spokesperson say after what I just told you, well, that's on you, isn't it? But at least you know some, a tiny 1% or less of the truth about how bad to the bone China is at every level. Now let's go to Bill Gates. And I will save our own special investigation for later. I'm going to be quoting from Disinformation Chronicle, May 11, 2021. Quote, "While leading a Senate investigation, I tracked a corrupt pharmaceutical executive right into the lobby of a much-vaunted Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Bill Gates did nothing." The last year has not been kind to Bill Gates. For two decades, Gates has shoveled out buckets of cash through the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to transform itself and himself from despised 1990 software monopolist to a present-day public health intellectual, a miraculous money-fueled metamorphosis. But that reputational makeover has stumbled, as a series of critical articles have tarnished Gates's paid-for golden image and cast doubt on his credibility. However, long before these articles came to light, I already knew that Gates could not be trusted. A decade ago, I led a Senate investigation to a multi-billion dollar diabetes drug sold by GlaxoSmithKline that government scientists found to have caused around 83,000 heart attacks, one drug. During this federal investigation, I uncovered multiple examples of GlaxoSmithKline's officials intimidating medical experts who decried the drug's dangers. A leader in this campaign was GlaxoSmithKline's chairman of research and development, Dr. Taki Yamada. By the time our committee uncovered GlaxoSmithKline's coercion campaign, Yamamoto had left the company to run Bill Gates' global health program. And yet, as the media outlets reported on Yamamoto's prior role bullying physicians who tried to warn about the drug's dangers, the Gates Foundation ignored this public outcry and allowed Yamamoto to maintain his pulpit as global health protector. 20 years back, journalists scrutinized Gates' foundation as a vehicle to enrich himself and polish his appearance. But over the years, reporters began to forget Gates' past and provide him a platform to puff himself up as scientific expert, despite his having no medical, no scientific credentials. Bill Gates' sculpted persona as health policy guru began to wobble last summer. However, precisely because of revelations showing the tools he had used to improve his media cachet. In August of 2020, Tim Schwab published an article in the Columbia Journalism Review exposing around $250 million in grants that Gates was throwing at journalism outlets, including the BBC, NBC, Al Jazeera, ProPublica, National Review, The Guardian, Univision, Medium, The Financial Times, The Atlantic, The Texas Tribune, Gannett Washington Monthly, Le Mode, and the Center for Investigative Reporting. A later article in The Nation spotlighting Gates' potential to profit from investments in companies situated to reap a windfall from the COVID pandemic, and another report in The Nation found that Gates' funding had shifted debate in public health, described as, quote, the Bill Chill, end quote, as organizations are reluctant to bite the hand that feeds them. These revelations came as little surprise to me. Back in 2007, I was working as an investigator for the Senate Finance Committee and learned firsthand that Bill Gates does not put the public first. That year, I wrote the Senate Finance Committee's report showing that shortly after the GlaxoSmithKline diabetes drug Avendia came on the market in 1999, the company attacked and silenced several scientists, including Dr. John Bush, a professor of medicine at the University of North Carolina. GlaxoSmithKline began to bully Dr. Bush after he gave talks stating that the Avendia might increase cardiovascular problems such as heart attacks. By the time we released the 2007 report, the FDA scientists estimated that Avendia had caused approximately 83,000 heart attacks. When Dr. Bush began warning physicians about the drug, Dr. Yamiata was at GlaxoSmithKline and contacted Dr. Bush's department chairman to complain. In an email discussing Dr. Bush's with GlaxoSmithKline CEO and other executives, Dr. Yamiata wrote, quote, "In any case, I plan to speak to Fred Sparling, his former chairman, as soon as possible. I think there are two courses of action. One is to sue him for knowingly defaming our product, even after we had set him straight as to the facts. The other is to launch a well-planned offensive on behalf of Avendia," end quote. In our report, we released a private email that Dr. Bush later sent a colleague detailing this encounter with GlaxoSmithKline. He said, quote, "The company's leadership contacted my chairman, and a short and ugly set of interchanges occurred over a period of about a week, ending in my having to sign some legal document in which I agreed not to discuss this issue any further," end quote. Dr. Bush ended the email, quote, "I was certainly intimidated by them. It makes me embarrassed to have caved in several years ago, end quote. Multiple media outlets covered Yamamoto's actions, including The Guardian. GlaxoSmithKline accused of trying to intimidate critics. NBC, diabetes drug probe leads to Gates Foundation, and even Bill Gates' hometown newspaper, The Seattle Times. Quote, "Senate committee turns attention to Gates Foundation official." Months prior to the report's release, the New York Times also detailed Dr. Yamamoto's behavior. Quote, "Doctor says he was assailed for challenging drug safety," as some initial evidence came to light during the hearing in the House. In response to all this, Bill Gates did nothing. To put this matter directly under Bill Gates' nose, I then wrote the Senate committee's letter demanding that Dr. Yamamoto come and brief Senate investigators, just in case Gates was too distracted with saving the world and playing public health savior to have noticed the bad press. I had the letters sent directly to the Gates Foundation. When Dr. Yamamoto showed up for his appointment in Senate Hart, we started with some brief niceties and formalities, typical D.C. nonsense, such as shaking hands, passing out business cards, asking how the plane flight was, before getting down to the business. Dr. Yamada's lawyer then pulled from his briefcase a marked copy of a committee report I had written titled "The Intimidation of Dr. John Bush and the Diabetes Drug of India." I spent about 20 minutes going over the report as the lawyer explained what Dr. Yamada had done. By the way, earlier I said Dr. Yamamoto. It's Dr. Yamada. He then turned the matter over to Dr. Yamada in detail why, many years prior, he had called Dr. Bush's superiors at the University of North Carolina. As Dr. Yamada explained, he wasn't trying to intimidate anyone. Ironically, he even offered up the idea that he had called Dr. Bush's team, a dean at North Carolina, because he was concerned that Avendia might actually be harmful. And if the drug was harmful, Dr. Yamada said he wanted to know. I almost giggled when he said that. I then asked, "So this is the only time you can remember calling a university about one of their faculty?" "Yes," he replied. I let him drone on some more, explaining medical research, before I asked him again if he had ever called a university to complain about a professor. Again, he denied doing so. and then started explaining drug development and regulatory process at the FDA. I then ask again, so during all your time at GlaxoSmithKline, this is the only incident you can remember where you placed a call to a university about a researcher who raised concern about one of your products, correct? I ask, it was a singular incident in your time at the company. Yes, he said. This was the third time that Dr. Yamada had denied making calls to other universities to intimidate academics speaking up about Aviendia. I then pulled out copies of GlaxoSmithKline emails showing that Dr. Yamada had called the University of Pennsylvania about physicians there who were worried about the drug's dangers. Quote, would you like to explain to us about the call you made to the University of Pennsylvania? I asked. One of the physicians involved told me, quote, it left a really bad taste in my mouth. After that happened, I said that I would never work for a drug company, end quote. Another physician who was involved told me, quote, it's the kind of thing you imagine happening on TV, end quote. I then slid the emails across the table to him. Dr. Yamada's attorney jumped up and grabbed the email saying, these emails weren't in the report. Yes, counselor, I thought. I left these ones out to see if your client might lie to us. Calm down. Everything's going to be okay. Well, we then exchanged some more niceties as Yamada re-examined himself and re-explained himself. Oddly enough, it seems there may have been more than just that one incident in North Carolina. Dr. Yamada said, but I really wasn't interested in listening and started checking my BlackBerry. It took a couple more years to go through hundreds of thousands of GlaxoSmithKline's internal documents before we released our final 342-page report in 2010 titled Staff Report on GlaxoSmithKline and the Diabetes Drug Aviendia. But we redacted the names of the scientists at the University of Pennsylvania who Dr. Yamada had harassed for speaking up because they were still scared about possible retaliation from the drug industry. After reading the report, Yale cardiologist Harlan Krumaltz wrote that it was, quote, like reading a spy novel. Analysts at UBS predicted that GlaxoSmithKline would face legal liability, quote, up to $6 billion. New York Times covered the report on its front page, and CBS News put Yamada in its story headline. Meet Glaxo's fixer, the man who scuttles drug critics with one phone call. And still, Bill Gates did nothing. 5 months after the 2010 Senate Finance Report, GlaxoSmithKline agreed to a $460 million settlement with 10,000 Americans who sued the company for withholding Aviendia's heart attack risks. The New York Times editorialized that GlaxoSmithKline and its leaders, quote, can't be trusted to report adverse reactions results fairly, end quote. Nothing at all happened to Yamada. He remained in his role as global health expert at the Gates Foundation until he left the following year. Keeping someone like Yamada to run a global health program has always made me doubt Bill Gates' commitment to public health. How could anyone have faith in Gates' judgment after watching him stand idly by as a stream of evidence proved that one of his top lieutenants had a history of corrupt behavior? Since that time, I have never trusted Bill Gates, and never should I, end quote. Thank you for that report. And that is only the first of several reports on Bill Gates' background that I will offer you. But it's just to show and that right now we have a man so powerful he controls the entire war on COVID. And look at all that he has done. And this is only a minor amount that he's done. Wait till we get into the really bad stuff on tomorrow's program. Now I want to play you a couple of clips. And these clips are important because they give us an understanding of the people who were right, but were not respected. And by the way, do you remember when I, over the last 13 months, I've been telling about medications, FDA-approved mainstream medications that have been shown in clinical study after study after study after study to help a person overcome the symptoms if it's caught early enough, depending upon your comorbidities and age, so you don't have to go to the hospital. Let me just go over that again. And here's what no one in the mainstream media has supported. To the contrary, they've attacked all these, and yet the science is on this side. Let's just start at the number one that has a 92% efficacy rate of helping you with COVID. This is called proxalutamide, proxalutamide. There's three studies, 20 scientists, all told, and 1,041 patients. Fluoxamine, Fluvoxamine, 89%, but up to 99% for many people. Two studies, 13 researchers, 277 patients. Then you have a carrageenan, LOTA, LOTA-carrageenan, 80% efficacy, but up to 96%. One study only, 18 scientists, 394 patients. Then look what you get, ivermectin. Ivermectin at 72%, but up to 79%, 56 studies, 469 separate scientists, 18,447 patients. Then you have providone, iodine, 68%, but up to 88% efficacy in some patients, four studies, 44 scientists, 1,994. Then you have vitamin D, 53%, but 64% efficacy, 23 scientific studies, 236 scientists, 23,046 people were involved in it. You have zinc, 39%, with as high as 48% efficacy, 10 studies, 96 scientists, 6,913. You have hydroxychloroquine in here, 245 studies, 3,916 separate scientists, almost 4,000 scientists, 368,128 patients. And even vitamin C in here has got a 20% up to high as 33%, 9 studies, 104 scientists, and 1,344. And there's 10 others in here as well. So all along, I've been telling you mainstream orthodox science physicians, frontline physicians, have been using these drugs and saving lives. Now it's come out time and again that had we allowed these reports to be examined, had we incorporated this into a national program instead of waiting for the vaccine, that up to 80% of the lives could have been saved. All right, and this is published on PRN.fm. It's been there all along. It's on GaryNall.com. So just to keep that in mind, all right? We have a really powerful documentary coming. It'll be about 2 hours long. It'll in the next week or two. And the person who's done more research on the World Health Organization, how corrupt it is at every level, has done a documentary. And we have the person coming on who did the film. We'll be playing parts of the film and having that person give us the insights. Boy, boy, do you see it. Now, a few things about Bill Gates on vaccines. In 2012, Bill and Melinda Gates called on the global community to make this the decade of the vaccines. Why not the decade of prevention? If we prevented disease and showed people how to build up their immune system, that would make sense. If they actually cared about people in Africa instead of exploiting helpless people without their knowledge or consent for vaccines, then we would put clean water systems in, sustainable hydroponic houses in all over, proper hygiene, none of that. No, the vaccines. In January 2013, Bill Gates told the world in an interview that he had no need for money and that he believed the global vaccination program was God's work. Quote, it's not going to stop us succeeding, he said, and quote, getting out to these children and delivering the vaccine. In an interview, he said vaccines are, quote, a miracle over disease and, quote, fantastic investment. Listen again, quote, a fantastic investment. After the U.S., the biggest funder to the World Health Organization is the Bill Gates and the Bill Melinda Gates Foundation. In 2018, a Seattle private physician who saw Gates' kids as patients said, quote, I don't know if he had them vaccinated as adults, but I can tell you he point-blank refused to vaccinate them as children, end quote. Well, that's a little hypocritical, Bill. You want everyone else's child but not yours vaccinated? The physician said at a behind-closed-doors medical symposium in Seattle, adding, quote, they were gorgeous kids, really smart and vivacious, and he said that they would be okay as it was. They didn't need any shots. But everyone else's gorgeous kids need shots. Surveys in the greater Los Angeles area have shown those in the most wealthy white neighborhoods, such as Orange County, are the least likely to vaccinate their kids. Gates Foundation collaborates and funds the Council on Foreign Relations. Did you know that? Gates Foundation collaborates and funds the Council on Foreign Relations interactive map that, quote, visually plots global outbreaks of measles, mumps, whooping cough, polio, rubella, and other diseases that are easily preventable by inexpensive and effective vaccines. It is part of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Global Health Program, which it claims, quote, provides independent evidence-based analysis. That's nonsense. The Gates Foundation faced a lawsuit due to an investigation carried out by the Supreme Court of India for scandalous fraud concerning the deaths and injuries from drug trials carried out over Merck's human papillomavirus vaccine Gardasil. Vaccine trials were conducted on thousands of girls between the ages of 9 and 15. Many of the girls fell ill, and at least seven minimally died. And the lawsuit alleges that in most of these cases, the girls and their parents did not even know what kind of vaccine trial they were participating in. The investigation showed that as many as 120 girls who participated in the human papillomavirus vaccine trials, quote, experienced adverse reactions such as epileptic seizures, a severe stomach ache, headaches, and mood swings. The report, what is called the SAMA report, S-A-M-A, also said that there have been cases of early onset menstruation following the vaccination, heavy bleeding, and severe menstrual cramps among many students. Gates-funded polio vaccine campaign across India resulted in, listen carefully, 47,000 cases of polio-like illness in those that were vaccinated. Gates' effort to promote the Glaxo's malaria vaccine was a flop and was less than 30% effective in children. In December 2012, in the small village in Chad on the edge of the Sahara Desert, 500 children were locked into their school, threatened if they did not agree to being forced vaccinated with a meningitis A vaccine, they would receive no further education. These children were vaccinated without their parents' knowledge. This vaccine was an unlicensed product. The groups involved in this were PATH, the World Health Organization, UNICEF, and the Gates Foundation. During investigations, it was discovered that the whole project was being run by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Concerning the project, the Gates Foundation stated, quote, MenAfriVac is a tremendous success story for the global health community. It is the first vaccine developed specifically for Africa and improves the global nonsense. Identified by the Catholic Medical Watch Group as a supporter and funder behind the vaccine campaign in Africa to sterilize childbearing girls and women with HCG-laced vaccines. Gates is the major funder of the Vaccine Confidence Project with a mission to, quote, to monitor public confidence in immunization programs by building on information surveillance systems for early detection of public concerns around vaccines by applying a diagnostic tool to data collected to determine the risk level of public concern in terms of their potential to disrupt vaccine programs, and finally to provide analysis and guidance for early response and engagement with the public to ensure sustained confidence in vaccines and immunization. Also, he funded a professor at the University of Connecticut to develop an internet surveillance system to monitor anti-vax sites and individuals. He funded MIT research to develop a method of embedding a person's vaccination record directly into the skin using a special dye that is invisible to the naked eye. And, of course, his role in the Agenda 2021 scenario exercised in October 2019 with the World Economic Forum and Johns Hopkins to simulate a coronavirus outbreak similar to the one, just coincidentally, that happened from Wuhan. But there's a lot more. I'm just getting started. But that's as much as I can squeeze in for today. I'll get all the other videos I wanted to share with you, including a really big bombshell one on tomorrow's program. Now, what we have to do is we have to start to realize that it's up to us to share the information, you and I together. If we begin to share this information, we can make a difference. So go to GaryNall.com, download the films, download the articles, share them as much as you can, especially the new documentary done by the Society for independent investigative journalism that has not received any money from the Gates Foundation. Hence, its journalists are completely clean and they're not biased. Watch that. It shows proof positive of all the different people that I cured of AIDS at no cost and kept alive. None died. And that could have been a model that could have saved suffering into the hundreds of millions of people throughout the world. And Anthony Fauci made sure that that didn't happen. And a tiny little group within the AIDS community made sure to start a personal attack against me as an AIDS denier that Wikipedia is about to be sued. And when I say about, I mean our final independent, all the law firms, major law firms that are weighing in on offering advice have been going on nonstop for the last week, and we're about ready within a week to actually serve papers. Now for something completely different. We have been out of nitric cell stuff. I'm sorry. It's our number one selling product now. And it just came back in this week. So here's our special for this week. Nitric cell stuff. You're also going to get it. And it's got everything you could want in it. It's got beets, oats, pomegranate. It's got cacao, which is raw chocolate, orange. It's got rice, hull, grape, blueberry, prune, goji, acai, rhubarb, spinach, kale, watercress, celery, cilantro, spirulina, lemons, grapefruit, orange, and watermelon. All great sources of nitric oxide. So we put it all together into a tasty, delicious powder. It's called Nitric Cell Stuff. We're ordering more now so we don't run out of this so fast. And when you order this, you're also going to get two new products, brand new. The veggie broth, this is a vegan product, and it's got all the best veggies you can imagine in there. And it's a delicious tasting broth. You could have it at any time. And then a hot chocolate as well. You're getting samples of both of those when you order. So here's how you order your product. And again, this is the nitric cell stuff. It's back in this week, along with our heavenly aloe is back in this week as well, which we're happy about. So right, you can call Neil in the vitamin closet at 646-926-5430. 646-926-5430. Or you can call our regular number. And our regular number is 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. And that will get you back in. We've been out for about a month of nitric cell stuff. And it's just one. It's now overtaking green stuff and red stuff as the number one product because people know the benefit of nitric cell improvement in your body. I won't go into the details of what it does. I never do that. I'll just say that it really is good for you. I take it everywhere I go, and I take it every day. In fact, I take it twice a day. So that's it for today, everyone. I look forward to seeing you back tomorrow. Have a nice day.